Morning. I'd like to welcome you back to our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. Today we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, and so I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with us to Ecclesiastes 6, and we're looking at verses 7 through 12. Let's go ahead and read it together. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise man more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better in the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For what knoweth what is good for a man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, we need to recognize that in the background of this passage is someone who's never actually specifically addressed, but it's clearly talking about him, and that's God. So when we come to this passage, it's really dealing with how to relate to God's providence and how wisdom should inform us as it relates to living in a fallen world, but recognizing that there's a God in heaven who's ultimately in control. And so let me give you a simple summary statement for the passage in front of us. The section reminds us that God governs our lives, and that since he ultimately rules, this principle should both inform and motivate us how to relate to him in our daily circumstances. Today we're going to be talking about that tension that we find between God's sovereignty and man's free will. And so when we get into this discussion, I know that I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions, not even get close to that, but we do have to start out with some very simple statements that the Scriptures are so absolutely clear about. As it relates to God's sovereignty and then our responsibility to him, let me give you a couple of things that we see in the Scriptures. The first is this: God is the creator, and he is personally sustaining everything. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. He is the creator and the sustainer of everything. And that's extremely important for us to understand. If it wasn't for God sustaining our lives and moving events to some purpose that he has, we would be in huge trouble. Everything would be left up to random chance, and there would be a destruction of this creation as it is. God is the sustainer, not just the creator, and he's moving things to a specific end. The second thing we'll see is that he is personally involved in his creation. As God's sustaining the creation, he's not just sustaining from a distance, but he's actively, personally involved in what's going on in his creation. In other words, our lives matter to God, and he's actually personally involved in our lives. He's relating to us in the middle of circumstances. But what's so interesting about God is while he's relating to us in circumstances, he's outside of time because he's eternal. And so while he can relate to us in the moment, there's a big picture eternally in God's purposes that's behind the scenes and unknown to us. A third point that we're going to see is he has a sovereign will that transcends time, and he has ordained things that cannot be reversed. In fact, later on in this passage, he's going to mention the fact that if someone is stronger than you, you can't resist them. And the idea is that God has a plan and God has purposes, sovereign purposes, that we don't know about, or maybe some things he's revealed in part, but those things are set in stone. What he's determined to take place is going to take place. And there's nothing that we can do to somehow thwart those purposes. Some poor decision that we make, some decision we make in a moment that we think is so impactful in the big picture, is just one little piece of a big puzzle that God has put together in his eternal purposes. A fourth thing, he has created us in his image, giving us the freedom to submit to or to rebel against his moral will. When we talk about God's sovereign will, we're talking about purposes that are established, unknown to us in most circumstances, or partially revealed to us in some circumstances, but they're set in stone. God is going to do what God has purposed to do. And we talk about prophecy. Prophecy isn't just God saying, I think this is going to happen in the future. He says, it's going to happen. I'm purposed that it's going to happen exactly how I've stated it. And that's what makes prophecy prophecy. It's not just a prediction. It's a statement of fact this will take place. God will accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish. And the reality is, only someone who actually controls the future has the ability to tell you what the future is actually going to have happen. The fifth thing. God uses our decisions to accomplish his purposes. And so when we talk about God's sovereignty, his purposes that are established, we talk about the fact that we have freedom to make decisions. We can actually reject what God says to do, or we can embrace what God says to do. So on some sense, we do have freedom. We also need to realize that the way that we choose to make decisions, the things that we do, are ultimately playing a part in what God will accomplish. And so God works through the means of human decision to accomplish his eternal purposes. And then we see this. His purposes are in most cases unknown to us at the time that we make decisions that we make. So there are a few situations where we can say, as we're making a decision, we know what God says will happen. But in most circumstances, we make decisions not knowing how things will play out in the future. We may have a sense about how we think things are going to play out. We may feel that we have a sense of what God is doing in a set of circumstances. We can know for a fact what God says is morally right and wrong in a set of circumstances. But when we make a choice, we cannot predict the future. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to play out. It's like a person who says, I'm going to choose to marry this individual. And when they get married and they make that choice, they do not know what lies ahead of them as far as in their marriage. They don't know the good. They don't know the bad. They don't know how many children they'll have. They don't know if they'll have children. They don't know what kind of health they're going to have. They don't know how long they're going to be married. They don't know when one of them is going to pass into eternity. There are so many variables that are completely unknown to those people when they make that decision. Yet that decision is just one piece in this whole, we could say, picture that God is putting together. The last thing I'm going to mention is this. There's a tension and there's a mystery to this topic. There are certain aspects to this that we can't fully comprehend. How is it that God has eternal sovereign purposes that cannot be resisted and they can't be overthrown, yet we're responsible to make decisions in a moment? We can actually reject what God says is morally right. We can choose not to do it, or we can choose to do it. But whether we do that or not, ultimately those decisions are going to play a part in what God has determined he will do. How does that all work out? How am I actually responsible in that? And I am responsible in that. Well, ultimately, we can't fully comprehend that. There is a tension there. God is sovereign. We are morally responsible. We are free to make choices. But God uses those choices. And those choices play a part in what he determines is going to take place. And so we have this discussion about God's providence, which is a discussion that could go into so many different areas. But the question we want to answer this morning is, how do we walk in wisdom as it relates to this issue of God's providence, his sovereignty? Well, this passage is going to give us four counsels that will help us to know how we should relate to this topic of God's providence. And they're very simple, yet they're extremely important. The first counsel is this. We need to realize that wisdom only helps us temporarily. When I say wisdom, obviously the scripture teaches us we are to walk in wisdom. We are to walk in a godly way. And there are benefits in this world to walking in wisdom and making good choices. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book. The book of Proverbs is a wisdom book. And we see that there are blessings that accompany good choices. But one of the things that Solomon's going to point out here is the reality that people who make good choices and people who make bad choices ultimately end up on a deathbed someday. And so in one sense, there is no difference and no advantage to the one who makes good choices and bad choices. Now, he's not saying that there's no advantage. He's simply saying in one sense, there's no advantage. Why does he do that? It's to remind us of the fact that our lives are short. It's to sober us to the reality that good choices are bad choices. We cannot escape this thing called death. In other words, all our labors, as he puts it, are simply to fill our stomach. And he says, as we fill our stomach, our appetites are never satisfied. He says, what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? He says, what advantage does the rich man have over the poor? He says, all the labor of a man is for his mouth. In other words, it's for his appetites, his belly, his tongue. He just enjoys it. Yet his appetite's not filled. What hath the wise man more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth the walk before the living? He said, you know, in the big picture, what's the difference between a rich man and a poor man? A wise man and a fool? What's the real advantage? He says, well, when it comes to this issue of the brevity of life, there's no advantage. And so he says, let's walk with a sense of humility. Let's keep in perspective the fact that our lives are short, and in the big picture, we're all going to end up in the same place. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to enter into eternity. And either we're going to be with him forever, or we're not. And so he really emphasizes that issue. The second counsel that Solomon points out to us as wisdom relates to God's providence is that we need to learn to be content with what we're given. Now, when we say what we're given, what that's emphasizing is that what we have comes from somebody bigger than us. In other words, we're not the ones who determine ultimately what we have and what we don't have in this world. There's a God in heaven who is in control, that is giving, withholding, blessing. He's in charge, and we have to recognize that. In verse 9, he says, better in the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, when you read that, that might seem like a complicated statement, but let me give you just very simply what he's saying here. It's better to be content with the things that you can see with your eyes, in other words, what you have, than to be a slave to the appetites of the things that you don't have. In other words, you should take what you have, what you can see with your eyes, and be happy with it. Be grateful for it. Thank God for it. Rather than having a wandering desire. In other words, you become a slave to all the things that you don't have. In other words, instead of enjoying what you have, you're saying, I wish I had this, and I wish I had this, and this, and this, and all those things. And your mind is never satisfied with those things. And by the way, there's no end to that. And that's what Solomon's trying to say. Being a slave to your appetites is an emptiness to your soul, and it will trouble you your entire life. Don't do it. So the first counsel that he had was realize wisdom is only going to give you a temporary benefit. Not that it doesn't give you a benefit, but it's temporary. The second thing, learn to be content with what you're given. The third counsel that he mentions, keep your decisions in perspective. In verse 10 he says, that which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Now what's so interesting is in this verse, it never states that which hath been is named already from God, and it is known to God, and you can't contend with God. But here is the reality of it all. As Solomon's writing these words, from the perspective of someone who looks at life without God in the picture, he can't help but say, even if you don't believe in God, you recognize there's something bigger than you that ultimately is in control of circumstance. In other words, some people use the term fate. Why do they say that? It's happenstance. It's their way of trying to not think about the fact that there's a God who created and sustains and controls the world and moves things to an end, and that there's actually order in what's taking place. They're trying not to embrace that reality, yet they actually know that it's there. And so when Solomon says this, he's ultimately saying, there's a God in heaven who's ultimately in control. And even though he's given you the freedom to make choices, those choices really fall into the purposes that he ultimately has for you. So if you look at that decision in the moment, you decided to do it because you wanted to do it. But if you can step back and you can see the big picture purposes of God, what you'll see is as you chose, it simply was a piece of this picture that God is writing, or God is painting, or God is putting together. In other words, your choice was a part of the big picture. It's a part of that mosaic. He says, you know, you don't have the ability to do everything that you want to do. There are some decisions that you want to make. You cannot make them. I'll give you an example of this. So who are you going to vote for president? Well, I'm going to vote for the person that I want to vote for. That's true. But what are your options? Can you vote for any person that you want to and it actually really matter in the big picture? The answer is no. You have two choices. Either you can vote for President Trump or you can vote for Joe Biden. You have one of two choices. So do you have a choice? Of course you do. You choose the one that you want to vote for. But if you want another person, it's not really going to matter. It's a wasted vote. There's no purpose in doing it. In other words, your choice is limited. We see that on just in a simple thing like an election here. But the reality is there are lots of things that you don't have the ability to choose to do. You don't choose your birthday. You don't choose mom and dad. You don't choose what gender God gave to you. Am I a male or a female? God chose that. You don't choose what your ethnic background is. You don't choose what time in history you live in. The reality is you have freedom. Of course you do. But those freedoms are limited by God's providential purposes. And so he says, that which hath been is named already. You don't have the ability to do anything that you want to do. You know, in one sense, you have freedom. Yes, you can choose to do things, but it's only what's available to you. In another sense, your choices are limited by the opportunities that God gives you and by the laws that he's established. And so basically what Solomon is saying here is keep your decisions in perspective. You have freedom, of course you do, but your freedom's limited by what God's going to let you have as opportunity. God's sovereign will is set. That what you decide to do was known by God before you did it. You can't overthrow God's purposes. And so the question is, how do we relate to that? Well, we need to walk in humility. We need to be responsible. We need to be thankful for the options that are available to that. We need to choose wisely. But in the big picture, we need to recognize it's simply one of those pieces in that picture that God is creating. The fourth and final counsel that we'll mention is this. We need to be decisive. There's some people that would say, you know, if God is sovereign and my choices are limited, then what's the point? Why should I choose to do anything? And what Solomon says is that's the absolute wrong way to look at this. The reality is that you should be decisive because God uses the choices that you make. It's like a person who says, well, I'm not going to make a choice to go to college because God's already determined what's going to happen in my life. Or I'm not going to choose to get married. Or I'm not going to choose to give the gospel to people. How do people get saved? They get saved through the preaching of the gospel. So as I go and make a choice to give the gospel, God works in circumstances to bring people to repentance of faith. How does God give you a family? Well, you make a choice. You decide who you're going to marry. You enter into that covenant of marriage. And then God begins to bless that thing. How do you end up in a certain position of career? Well, you have to make choices to end up in that place. And so as you make those choices, there'll be a day when you look back and you say, yes, I chose, but God's hand was in all of that. And that's the point that he's making. In other words, rather than us sitting back and saying, oh, it doesn't matter, we should say, let me be decisive because I don't know what God is doing, but he's going to use the choices I make to accomplish the purposes he has for me. In verses 11 and 12, he says, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Who knoweth what is good for a man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? The Hebrew literally in this verse is saying this, the more the words, the more the futility. In other words, a person who makes excuses is a person that doesn't get things done. A person that complains, a person that talks, they don't get things done. And he's saying an increase of that means that you don't improve things. He says, what is the good of arguing about the way things are? What is the good of complaining about the way that things are? Be a decisive person. Make good choices. Rather than arguing and rather than complaining and rather than excusing, make good choices. God's going to use those choices to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. And then he makes this simple point. There's nobody that can tell you what's going to happen in the future. They can't explain to you how things are going to play out. You can't go to somebody before you're going to make a decision and say, how's this going to play out? They're going to look at you and say, well, it's possible that this happens. It's possible that that happens. I've seen in these kinds of situations that things play out a certain way. But are they saying that's what's going to happen? Nope. That's not what they're doing. They're simply saying this is what could happen. And so Solomon says, you don't know the future. You don't know how things are going to play out. So make good choices with the options that are available to you on the basis of good principled wisdom that God gives you, and realize something. In the end, God's going to use it to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. In other words, the purposes that God has for you are going to be accomplished through the choices that you make. And so be decisive. The question is this: how can we practically apply what's in front of us? Let me give you a couple of simple thoughts. The first is this: be humble. Realize you can't beat death. Second, be content with what you have, knowing ultimately it's from God. Three, realize that the choices that you make are limited by God. Don't let that frustrate you. Don't let that make you angry. The fact is that God has purposes in our lives, and not everything we want to do is available to us. So choose wisely from what's available to you. And lastly, be decisive, because you don't know how things are going to play out. Just make good choices with the information that you have, and realize that God's going to use it to accomplish his purposes in your life. I hope this has been a challenge to you this morning. This is a tough topic. I totally understand that. I developed it probably more than a normal devotional, but I hope that it'll be a challenge to you anyway. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then I hope you have a great rest of your day. Father, thank you for the opportunity to discuss such an important topic. Help us to think clearly and wisely about how to relate to your sovereign purposes. We ask that you use this to accomplish good things in people's lives today. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if this has been a challenge and a blessing to you, I hope that you'll share that. And Lord willing, we will meet back on Monday, because tomorrow's Saturday. Bye now.